You guys ready? Woo! Welcome to another episode, guys, of the Plant Movement Podcast. My name is Willie Rodriguez. I got my co-host with me, Eddie Gonzalez. He's sitting behind the computer today, just to give you guys a different feel. And guys, what an interesting time that we are living. So interesting. It really puts the pressure on us as entrepreneurs to really step up our game, right? I feel like a lot of us have been like, it's been easy, right, to make money the past 2 years. Very easy. If you have it, you sold it, whatever price, doesn't matter, right? But now we're entering a time that things are, we're starting to see global economy slow down, right, which is trickling into all of our businesses, right? There's, everyone has good days, bad days, right? You have a solid week and the next week might be a little slow. We also have rain, right? The weather's not helping out if you're in South Florida, depending on where you're at. But here in South Florida, it's been raining, so all the landscapers, they're behind schedule, right? We're behind schedule sometimes, and it is what it is, us at the plant nursery. It is what it is, but we take it with a grain of salt, and we keep pushing forward, keep pushing and thriving to continue. So today's episode, guys, I am going to be diving in deep because I feel it's needed on ways to properly collect, right, from whoever you're doing business with, payment methods. Most secure ways to do that. I'm also going to dive into insurances that help you, also help whoever you're doing work with, and also ways to protect yourself. So I just want to dive in and talk about it because it's something that I feel is very, very needed for all of us. All right, guys. So here, let's say, well, I say here because I'm sitting here at the studio inside of my office here at Age Ornamental. But me being a wholesale plant nursery, I deal with a lot of customers, a lot of people, and this is a business that is all done basically to check. That has been like that forever, right? Cash used to be the thing back in the day, but you know, not everyone's walking around with 20, 30 grand in cash to go purchase things, so that's why people use checks. But a check at the end of the day is a piece of paper with numbers on it, right? So if you go and now you make a sale, and someone gives you a $10,000 check, you don't know if that check's good. You don't know if it's going to bounce. You don't know if the account that is written on there is even legit and open. I've been through all of this hundreds of times in my life, and I've learned the way to do it. So I'm going to start off, guys. So one way of method that I use for customers that I do not know, right? So if you're pushing advertising, you're pushing to get new sales, you are going to get new sales, right? But you don't know who is purchasing from you, right? And you can get something called references, which is what we do here as well. Hey, tell me who you've purchased from around town that I might know, that I can call, give them a friendly phone call. Say, hey, do you know Johnny from this landscape company or this contractor, whoever it may be, this nursery? How are they making payments? Oh, man, they're great. Oh, awesome. Perfect. That's a good way, indicator to know that the person you're dealing with, your new customer, is legit and they're going to come through, right? But it's still not 100% secure. You're going based off of someone's word. You don't know their situation. It could have been that they purchased from them 3 months ago. You don't know the situation they're in today, right? But checks. Checks are very scary unless you have some type of relationship with the person. And if you do, then you can get checks with from them, no problem, unless they jump into some type of issues. But the ways I do it, when I have new customers that call, I love ACH. That new ACH stuff, that Zelle, right, Eddie? Yeah. Zelle, Cash App, all that type of stuff is great. I have mine set up for my business. If you have a bank that doesn't offer that, maybe I wouldn't say go and open another bank and transfer all your money there, but maybe it's good to have that and have some money put in there. That way you can shoot payments ACH or you can receive payments ACH because it's very good. It's very convenient. It works just like Zelle from person to person. It's the same thing from business to business. So ACH stands for Automated Clearing House. And what that is basically a third party. You're sending the money to like through Zelle, but it goes through Zelle. They make sure it's legit. You have the money, all that stuff. And then they send it to whoever you sent it to. So it's very secure, very good. It's not a great way to track, right? Because there's not so much tracking that can be done with it. Once you send it, it's sent. So you better maybe send them a dollar first, make sure they received it. Before you send 10, 20, 30 grand. True. And there's limits to it as well. I think most people have like a $2,500 limit for the day. I've noticed that. Let's say not most people, but let's say average of what people tell me when they go to send me a payment to Zelle. Oh, man, I can only send $2,500. Call your bank. Set up an appointment. If you don't have a private business banker, set up an appointment so you can go in there and you can set that up. Or you can probably call on the phone and you can get that limit up. You can tell me, hey, most of my transactions are 10 grand or 20 grand. You know, that's what I do. And I would love to be able to send that to my, you know, my vendor no problem. We'll get it done for you, right? Most likely they will, especially if they see that. They see the amount of checks you do and all that stuff, your algorithm, they will do it for you. So that's a great way. Cash App is very good as well. I like to use Zelle just because it's already in my bank. I'm not using an app, like an actual app. I'm going through my bank account. So for me, I feel it's more secure than anything, right? So that's one method. Another method that I love to collect, and this is something that I do, and I'll just give you guys a scenario. Customer calls, new customer. Hey, I'll pay with a bank check. Okay, perfect. A cashier's check. I ask them to send me a picture of it. So I'll get the invoice done. I'll email them the invoice so they have the total. They go to the bank, they get the cashier's check, and they send me a picture before we send the truck. And why do I do that? Because I want to make sure they have funds, right? It's different than a check. When you do a cashier's check or bank, a bank check, something like that, the bank is acting like the third party. So what happens is the bank will extract those funds from their account, and then they will hold on to it, put it in a separate style account that's theirs, and basically that person no longer has the money. That's a great way of assuring that you will get paid, the check's not going to bounce, and that your customer did have the money they said they did to purchase the product or whatever service you're providing, right? Because this is very broad. It could be used for anything, any type of form of business. Then we jump into wire transfers. Wire transfers, you would think, are very similar to ACH, but they're not. It is from bank to bank. There's no third party involved. You can do it online if you have a big bank. If you use a big bank, you can do it right online. It's super easy. And now you're sending money securely, right? That's a way. I know it's raining.
It's pouring.
It's pouring, guys, outside.
So if you guys hear that in the background.
If you guys hear it, I'm sorry. So wire transfers are good because it's bank to bank. Normally that's done for like people that you have no clue who they are, no background. I get wire transfers when we send stuff to the islands. 100% payment, by the way, if you're wondering. And I wouldn't do it any other way because you ain't going to go to the islands or somewhere else to try to go get your money. Right. Even if it's to another state, I would not have to try to fly or get a, you know, it's a whole mission. Awesome. So 100% upfront. But wire transfers are great as well. You can call your bank, have it done if you have a relationship with them. Or like if I said, if you have a private banker, you can go in and do it like that as well with someone, a representative there, or you can do it online if you have access to doing that, right? Something else we offer here is credit card payments. Credit card payments for me are great, but I do know that there can be some haggling involved where if you do come across a shady customer that they want to play the game, right? Because we are in that time that people can play the games. They can swipe the credit card, pay you, take the product, and then they can call and dispute the charge, right? So is it 100% secure? Yes, in a way, but it will take time because that now you have to show proof, right? So that's why you always got to have signed invoices, signed contracts, everything like that. Every customer that comes in, like we're a plant nursery, so all you plant nurseries know, you have buddies or people you've dealt with before that you're like, oh, it's okay, I know them. Get a signed invoice, guys. Get a signed invoice because if the payment was to not go through for any reason, being credit card or check, you want to have some type of thing to fall back on to be able to show proof if you have to go into something else to try to get paid. So the reason I'm talking about all this, guys, is because we're in a time right now that people are going to be tighter with money because it is what it is. And they're going to start playing that game of, playing with their money, right? Playing with the checkbook, playing with terms, playing with all these different type of things. And you want to do business with people that come through, right? I've had countless of people on Instagram, especially, they'll send me a list, right? We price it out, spec it out, which takes a lot of time to do. We send it back to them. It'll be 20 grand, 25 grand, 15 grand. And then they're all hype and they send me the address, the delivery date, the whole nine. But then I hit them with, hey, you got to pay me first with Zelle, a bank check, a wire transfer credit card, like that. And they automatically pull back. And that just goes to show there's two ways of looking at it. For me, I automatically think that that person does not have the money to pull it off, right? And that's what it is. What else would you think, right? Right? At that moment, because everything's flowing to get it done. Everything's approved. Everything's let's go, let's go, let's go. And then money comes into the conversation and they back out. So to me, that's they have no money.
Yeah, that sounds right? Sketchy.
And it's sketchy, right? Yeah. So people don't understand, like the vendors that you guys buy from, they're not your bank, right? I'm not a bank. My business name and what I'm registered as is a wholesale plant nursery. I am not registered as a bank. So if I hold your check for a week, I'm being a super nice guy, right? And if I give you terms, I'm being more of a nice guy because I'm giving you 30 days on my money, right, that I can flip 20 more times in that period of a month, right, by going out and getting more things and selling them or whatever it might be. And I'm losing the opportunity to continue to grow and make money with that money by giving it to you for 30 days, right? So that's what it is. I do see, now we're talking about 30 days, I do see a lot of nurseries and businesses as well. People will buy fertilizers, pots from all that. They'll have like a 3% or a 5% upcharge if you pass the 30 days,
right,
which is good.
Right.
But that upsets a lot of people.
It does.
Right? It upsets a lot of people, and people don't want that if they made a mistake and they forgot and they're 5 days late, then now they got to get penalized, right? But me, being in this world, I have done that before, mm-hmm, right, where I'm a couple days late. But since I have a relationship with them, they always waive it and they don't make me pay it, right? And it's all part of keeping the relationship. It's right. Just like something to say, hey, make sure you pay me, because if not, I do have the right, because you signed this invoice with this on the memo on the bottom, to click up the price. I mean, to charge the 10% or whatever it is that I'm charging,
5%,
whatever it might be, right? Me personally, I don't do that because 95, 99% of all of our transactions are paid, right? We don't give too many people terms. Right. And
you do like a COD.
Everything's COD. And that's the way to do it. Like when I was first starting, it was very hard to collect COD from certain people. And to get into the bigger businesses, I had to give them terms. But I learned my lesson, guys. I learned my lesson big time. And today, like, I get these big, huge companies that are nationwide. And I'll just talk about it. I'll be 100% real. They call me. These are big companies, do 100 million a year, whatever it might be. And they're hitting me with 120-day terms. Hey, give me 120-day terms. I'll start buying from you. Guys, these are big companies, right? So they're not looking for $10,000 credit. They're looking for $500,000. Mm-hmm. So imagine you give an individual $500,000, right, for 120 days, which is 4 months, and now they don't pay you. Think about that. So now in the United States of America, you are innocent until proven guilty. So how does that work? And a reason why I don't do it, because mm-hmm, I learned my lesson. And I'll tell you a couple of stories about that. So how does it work? You give somebody terms. They don't pay you. What are you going to do? You call Mr. Nice Guy. Hey, man. Hey, you're a little late on the payment, you know, if you get them on the phone. Right? And they'll tell you, oh, man, no, I got some money coming in. There's a word that I hate. It's called draw. It's the scariest word because I've had so many issues with the word draw. Draw is like... let's say you're a landscaper or you're doing some work for a building or whatever it may be, and they're building a new development. Right. They send out money in draws, which are normally every 90 days, right? So it's like, okay, I invoiced $500,000, but I don't get the draw for the next 300, you know, till this time. So now you have all your vendors, all your people that you bought the product from to be able to make it happen with what you're doing on hold. That's bad. You know, go get a credit line, guys. If you're dabbling into that, go get a credit line so you can use those funds to pay everybody, have everybody happy, have a thumbs up, get whatever you want, get service better than anyone else. And then when you get paid, you pay the credit line,
right?
There's no reason to have your vendors on hold because it's bad at the end of the day. That's why I don't give credit, right? So back to this. They owe you $500,000, 120 days comes by, they don't pay. 20 more days, another month goes by, they don't pay, they don't pay, they don't pay. They send you a check for 20 grand, but they owe you $500,000 because I've been there. Oh, 100 grand, they send me a check for 2,000. It's like, dude, why did you send me that? What are you trying to, you're trying to play a game with me? So how can you go and get your money? What are you going to do? Knock on the door, go up there with two bodyguards, right? You're going to get, you know, the Tony Montana over there with guns a-blazing. You can't do that, right? So how do you get paid? You got to go to an attorney, right? And now you got to start something called litigation. Who wants to get involved in that to be able to sell your product or service? Nobody, right? And if you haven't experienced it, I hope you never do. Let's just say that because it's bad. So you go to your attorney, and depending on your attorney, they might ask you for a retainer. Every attorney is going to ask you for a retainer if it's anything to litigate. I had one of my attorneys, $5,000. You got to give $5,000 just for them to start. And it's not that that's what they take as payment. It's just so they have $5,000 on their side to start, you know, working.
Process, yeah.
To start processing, getting it started.
Process, yeah.
But imagine that. Look, I have a buddy right now, 2 years in litigation, guys. 2 years in litigation. All right? It's cost them $120,000 in attorney fees, right? So to avoid all that. And this is real, guys. If you haven't experienced it, you know, you might, and I hope you don't. And one way to never experience is put your rules. At the end of the day, you get paid the way you want to get paid. If you're working, like a lot of landscapers work for the county, or you work for these big projects, and they do those draws, or they do that they pay in terms and stuff like that, it is what it is. You are gambling, right, at the end of the day. But for the most part, me being a wholesale nursery, and let's say people that come to you to buy a product, it's in your control. You can do whatever you want. And before, when I was younger, I would do that to, I would think, dude, I'm selling so much more. Like, look at the numbers from last month. But if you don't get paid, you're giving away your stuff, right, at the end of the day. So I learned my lesson on that, and I don't go down those roads anymore. New customers, like any new customer, I need the money. And if I don't have the money, I'm not going to do it. Remember, a customer called you. You didn't call them. They called you for your service. They called you for your product. So they got to abide by your rules, and they got to pay. And if they don't have money, it's better not to do it. It can be the most sweetest deal in the world, right? Like one of these big companies, dude, we'll buy $500,000. I'm like, dude, it sounds amazing, right? But what happens if you don't pay me, right? So another way to do this that I've done as well. So a landscaper, buddy of mine, doing these higher-end homes, needed terms because he was going in with no deposit, right? They were not giving him a deposit. So I told him, dude, the only way I will help you and give you product on 90 days is if you give me something that's paid off as collateral, right? So it can be the boat that's worth $100,000 that you only give them 50% of it. So now they have $50,000, right? And you go put that boat in your name, basically. That's what you do. Like, that's the safest way to do it, right? But let's say it's not an item like that. Me, what I did with this individual was his home. So his home was free and clear. And that's what I did. We did paperwork. We did a contract. It was $750 with an attorney. And everything was written up. So now I am a lien holder of his house. Not on the deed of his house, but I am guaranteed his house if he does not come through, right? So that's the only way that I did it with him. Because, like, for us guys, being, let's say, wholesale nurseries, giving credit to landscapers is always sketchy. Because when you are a nursery giving credit to another nursery, that nursery is, let's say, brokering product or sourcing product for their customers, you have somewhere to go and get your money. So let's say they fall into some type of rut and now they don't have money to pay you. You can always go get the product, right? And it's a very easy way to get paid. You clear out invoices. Hey, we traded. It's gold. You know, we're done, right? But when it's a landscaper, what are you going to go get? A landscaper doesn't own products that you can use, right? And then you can't take their box truck because now how are they going to continue making money to pay you or to even continue their business? Correct. It doesn't work like that. So I'm just saying this, guys, because we are in this wonderful time that people are doing it, and I see it more today. I had a guy on a customer as well, gave me a check, $3,700, fake account, right? Wow. Call him, doesn't answer, right? So these are all things that I've learned, and I've lost countless amounts of money trying to be Mr. Nice Guy, trying to sell more and not paying attention to collecting it like more seriously and putting, you know, a knot around it to get it. To get the money. But now my game plan has changed 100%. If I don't get the money, I don't care to do business because I'm not trying to go hunt my money. And every time you go hunt your money, you are automatically the bad guy, even though you are not the bad guy. But that's what you're looked at and you're pertained as like. So you guys that are doing work, like let's say even me, like plant nurseries, landscapers, contractors, anything that has to do with building, anything outdoors, anything like that, there's something that really, really, really can help you. If you don't know about it already, it's called a notice to owner.
Okay.
Notice to owners, us as plant guys, as plant growers, we can do notice to owners on projects as well if we're doing these terms, right? So let's say you have the developer. The developer reaches out and the contractor, and he hires 10 people to do all these different things. Let's say the landscaper, and I'm going to just give you an example based off me. The landscaper now gets this job, you know, let's stick to $500,000. He gets a $500,000 landscape job, high-end home. And he comes to me. He's like, dude, I need $200,000 worth of product, this and that, yada, yada. Can you give me 30 days? Depending on who it is, maybe I do it. We do a contract, whatever. I'll go and do a notice to owner. Because what the notice to owner does is notifies the homeowner or the landlord or the contractor that's building it, whoever owns the property, whoever's putting up all the money to get it done, it notifies them that they're, the person that they hired is now going and buying product elsewhere and not paying for it, that they're taking some type of terms to pay for it, right? But notice of owner, basically what it does also is puts a lien on their property. So now if the contractor or the landscaper doesn't pay you, now you have, you know, you have a security, meaning that they cannot get a loan against that property. They cannot sell that property. They can't do nothing with that property until you get paid.
No. A notice to owner, an NTO, is a written notice prescribed by the Florida statute. So 713.06 that officially advises the owner of an improvement that the sender, usually as a subcontractor or supplier, not dealing directly with the owner, is looking for the owner to be sure the sender is paid before payment is made to the contractor on the job.
Perfect. So basically what that does is it's an insurance, guys, and it doesn't cost much to get a notice to owner. It's very cheap and it's very effective. So you might have to wait, you know, you might have to wait 6 months, a year to get paid, depending on how long that project's going to be, but you will get paid. It's basically a lifeline. It's what it is at the end of the day. And anyone working on any type of project that if you were to lose the money that you have on the plate would really affect you, I would definitely do a notice to owner. If you're doing a little landscape job or something like that, I would never do that, right? But if you're doing something substantial, something that you know, you're climbing the ladder and now you're a regular small landscaper that does 15, 20 grand a month and now you get a $50,000 job, I would definitely do that. Because if you're not collecting, you know, all the money to be able to fund it, let's say you're only getting 20% deposit, whatever it may be, you're upfronting more of your money. So you want to make sure that you have access to getting that back, which is a lifeline, which is called a notice to owner. And I would definitely recommend everybody does that. I do notice to owners, like I said, on big jobs that we do give terms for, but very seldomly. And I try not to get involved in that. So the last thing I have on my list, guys, is something very, very important that has really changed the game for me and allowed me to open a lot of doors. It's something called a bond. We have an agricultural bond. What is an agriculture bond? It is a form of insurance, right? So since everyone's supposed to have a bond. If you buy a product from someone and you incorporate it in your service or you're flipping that product, you're brokering it, you're sourcing it, you're doing whatever it is with it, you are supposed to have a bond. A lot of guys don't have a bond, but I learned the hard way because I didn't have a bond and I got the phone call and I got closed down for a couple days and it was hell, but it wasn't as bad as when I got hit with workman's comp.
When you first started.
This is when I first started. It was like 3 years in.
3 years in, so yeah. Like 2014, 2013.
Yeah, 2013, 2014. I got bonded, right? And I've been bonded ever since. So what the bond does is it's an insurance for the people that I buy product from, right? So let's say I go and I buy $50,000 at a nursery that I'm going to bring to my nursery and sell as I get calls for it. That bond, if I do not pay that customer, that person, that 50 grand, that vendor, now they have access to getting their money. So what do? They call the bond, show signed proof of invoices, and then now they start the process and they get a check from the bond company, which is an insurance company, and now the insurance company comes after me. You never want anyone with deeper pockets coming after you because it's going to be bad for you, straight up, right? So that's why I'm bonded. And what has bond done for me? It has opened an immense amount of doors, like an immense amount of doors. So I can go places and get 90-day terms. And all I tell them is, hey, man, I'm bonded. Oh, you're bonded? Their whole face changes because now they know. And a bond, to get bonded, let me explain that. To get bonded, you cannot be Joe Blow, right? That's bouncing checks and playing the game and all that. You will not qualify to get bonded. They go through your financials. They go through your bank statements. They want to make sure you're not bouncing checks. You're not playing around, stuff like that. They might even call people that you sell, that you buy from, and ask how you pay. Right. And so by being bonded, if you are bonded, that means you're solid. That means you're a legit company and that means you're not here to play games. Right. And it opens, like I said, an immense amount of doors. Like for me, if someone wants to pay me with a check, I ask them if they're bonded. They send me their bond license for the year and I give it to them. Right. Depending on what it is. And I have a story to talk about that as well, that why you can't go based off 100% the bond either. Why it's good to use Zelle, use a cashier's check, wire transfer, anything like that, bank check, and I'm going to explain why. So I had a company, landscape company, big landscape company about 5 years ago. I gave them 74 grand in the course of like a month of product. They were buying everything from me. I'm like, dude, this is crazy. My sales, I'm going to sell an extra $700,000, $800,000, or $1 million this year just with this one customer, right? That was my, that's what I was thinking of. Then came that they were late. Then the guy was like a super con artist. He's like, dude, don't worry, man. I got you. It's just I'm transferring some money right now from one account to another, which that takes minutes. I do it in minutes. So that was a lie. But playing the game. So then he gives me a check. I put it in. It bounces. And then back and forth, all this different type of stuff. And the check was not for 74 grand. So basically, the guy ghosted me. He owed me at that time. I had got down from 74 to 6,000. So I was very lucky. I was able to work that. And, you know, that's a whole other podcast I can talk about how your demeanor is supposed to be and how you are supposed to be when you're trying to collect. You cannot show up, you know, balls blazing, fire blazing. You got to, you know, you got to keep it professional. Emotions aside, you can't have emotions if you're running a business. So, or you can't let your emotions overpower you. So, so basically, I called the bond. And when I called the bond, and this is something that you should do prior, right? And I learned this before you work with anyone that has a bond. You call and you ask about them. So I called, hey, Mr. So-and-so landscape company. The first thing he's like, Willie, don't tell me that you sold to them. I'm like, dude, this guy owes me 74 grand. This was before I was at 6,000 with him. And he was like, dude, we've been in litigation for 2 years with this guy, right? 2 years with this guy. He's got three attorneys on it. This guy is screwing everybody, right? So you better hope and pray you get some of that money back, wow. Which I got lucky, right? I got 68 back. So that just goes to show you. So you want to call the bond, right? Which you can type in agriculture bond if you're in agriculture. I'm going to go through a couple other bonds here right now. But when it comes to the agriculture, you can call the office, ask to speak with a rep, and ask about that person just to make sure they're legit and they don't have any cases open on them, right? Because that's what happened to me, and I didn't understand the whole process, right? So that's why I'm here talking about it today so you guys can learn a little bit about it. So that's one thing with that. Bonds are great. They open big doors with big vendors. Now, like I said, I have access to 90-day terms at different spots, fertilizer, pots, the whole nine, chemicals, whatever it may be, because one, my word, two, I come through and I'm bonded as well. So they have all these different, you know, ways to get paid if I wasn't able to come through, so, but we come through.
So again, a bond is an insurance.
Bond is an insurance. Yeah. You can call an insurance company. I have my insurance company. He's on vacation right now, but I want to call him to see if we can get him on here to talk deep about bonds and all of that process. We can even hit workman's comp maybe in that episode as well. Because workman's comp is another thing. But that has something to do different than collecting payments. So we have something called a performing bond. A performing bond is different than agriculture. It is for anyone doing a service, right? And then most county jobs, I want to say all county jobs, require you to have a performance bond. That means that you are going to come through. So a performance bond can be also for a developer or anything like that. So let's say, I'm going to put it in developer terms. You get a call from a millionaire. They want to build 10 homes. Perfect. You are the contractor that they choose to go do it. They're going to ask you for a performance bond. So what that does is assure them that regardless if you come through or not, the job's going to get done. So when you get a performance bond, let's say you default on getting it done. You ran out of money. It doesn't make sense for you to do, or you back out. You got sick, or you got into whatever issues and you can't get it done. You can't finish the houses. The bond, the performing bond, will upfront all the money to get it done, but not you. They kick you out of there, and they go find other people to get it done. They get the job done, right? So now the landlord gets everything done that they wanted to get done, and they go after the first contractor personally. To get a performing bond, you got to have a personal guarantee. What is a personal guarantee? Meaning that if the company defaults, they come after you personally. So all those beautiful personal assets that you have, like the beautiful boat and the beautiful house and the apartment and all this different stuff, they're going to come after it. They're going to put liens on everything. And then you get into the whole litigation, which the attorneys take all your money. Congratulations to you, attorneys. You guys are super smart. The longer it takes, the less money everybody has, but the attorney comes out on top. But we need attorneys, man. We need attorneys, right? So that's what a performing bond does, but it allows you access to get these bigger jobs, to get the county jobs, to get, you know, into bigger volumes of money But just remember that the bigger the money is, the longer it might take to get, you know, depending on what it is, depending on the situation, right? Like, that's why, like, I referred to the islands, right? The islands are out of state. I get 100% up front, so it's great, right? So there's no ifs, ands, or buts. You're 100% in control, and all you got to do is come through. So that's that. There's also installation bonds. There's a bunch of different bonds. Like I said, I want to try to get somebody on here, a professional, that's what they do for a living, so they can talk about all these different things in depth and dive into it, because I think it'll be very beneficial for all of us, right, to learn about what is available out there to help us open doors and help and have people look at you in a better light.
More professional.
More professional, man. You're prepared. It's like, hey, who are you? You're Johnny, you're John Smith. Yeah, I'm John Smith, but I have my company, and look, I'm bonded with this and I'm bonded with that, and I have liability insurance, I have workman's comp, and they're going to hire you,
right?
The only thing is, when you do have people like that, performing bonds, depending on the job, I think is how, depending on the volume of the money, is how it is charged. Our agriculture bond is cheap, guys. It's cheap. The max that they can charge you a year is $500, right? And that's for if you broker, or if you broker up to $100,000 or more in your heaviest month of volume. So our heaviest month of volume is like March, April, May, that's spring. So they'll take the highest month, and if it's $250,000, if it's at $50,000 or more, then you pay $500. It's super cheap if you're in agriculture, right? But the other ones are like that. But what's good about, if you have to go to a job and get a performing bond, you can pass that on to whoever hired you, right? Or you can click it up in the price or whatever, you get that money back, right? So it's not money lost, because it is money lost at the end of the day. If nothing went wrong, everything went smooth, and you're upfronting the money to pay for it, you can always get it back in the product or the service that you're providing. Guys, that's pretty much it when it comes to this. It's just an episode that I wanted to do, talking about things like this. I want to talk more about, continuing to talk more about things like this.
Yeah, you need to get somebody on
who's a professional.
Who's a professional.
Right, like, I'm not a professional in it, but I do know about it, but I'm not 100%,
right,
you know, involved in that world.
You're speaking based off experience also.
Yeah, based off, like, experience.
Yeah, it's like everything that you've been through and what you've needed to get to this point.
Exactly. And things that I've learned along the way, the hard way.
Yeah.
The hard way.
You told me a story the other day about the guy that came to your house.
Yes. Yeah, that was Mr. That was the bond guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, the bond guy he showed up to my house and he's like, "Man, are you Willie?" I'm like, "Yeah." He goes, "I finally got you." And I'm like, "What do you mean, man?" He's like, "I've been watching your trucks." So this guy would hang out on Chrome Avenue,
again,
which is our main street.
This is like 10 years ago.
Yeah, so he would sit on the corner and he would take pictures of all the landscape companies, all the nursery companies, and he would go on his computer and check if they were bonded, right? So then he went to the extent of going and taking pictures of our trucks going to nurseries, picking up, and then going, you know, to different nurseries picking up.
This guy was a detective.
A detective, bro. That's his job, right? So then he showed up to my house and he basically closed me down for 3 days because I didn't have a bond. So he made it so I couldn't do any transactions. But, guys, my name's Willie, right? So we make things happen. I'm not going to tell my customers, "Guys, I don't have a bond. I don't have a bond, guys, so I can't send you the product," right? We figured it out. But nonetheless, I got bonded, and it was great after that. And then he became my boy. He became my buddy, right? Took him to have some chicken wings at Sports Grill. There used to be Sports Grill, if you guys know, in the Hammocks. And it was easy. It was great after that. Great relationship to today. I can call him. We can talk for an hour. But it's about having things in place. There's so many businesses out there that are just winging everything. They have no clue. Another one's workman's comp. I mean, we can get somebody on to talk about workman's comp and how important that is. You got to have your stuff right, you know. Yeah. For you landscapers, if you have one or more employees, that's what it used to be when I was doing it. You have to have workman's comp.
And yeah, well, right? Well, the term for a bond is insured and bonded.
Yeah.
Yeah, which, you know, it offers limited guarantees to your clients. Being insured means that you have an insurance policy that protects against accidents and liabilities.
Yes. Yeah, so, you want to have all that, man. Yeah. You don't want
to
show.
Especially if you're running a business and you're trying to elevate your business and take it to the next level.
If you're a guy that does maintenance and you do regular homes, you know, like, you don't need any of that stuff. Workman's comp if you have more than one guy.
Right.
But if you're trying to get into these bigger places, they want to make sure that they're not going to hire the guy that's $20,000 cheaper that doesn't have any of this stuff.
Right.
They rather hire the guy that's $20,000 more that has all these things implemented. True. So think about the opportunities. If you are a smaller guy trying to get into where the bigger guys are, these are one of the these are some of the steps you got to take when it comes to the bond, when it comes to notice to owner, stuff like that. If you're doing things like that, they take you more serious. Right. They know that you're legit. You have a background history that someone else already did the legwork for them, so they don't have to check up on who you are, and it just works.
Right.
Right? And it works for them, and it allows you to grow and climb up the ladder.
Just be more professional.
Big time, more professional. And that's what a lot of businesses need today is reinvest into what they're doing to get these type of things so you're set up so when the phone call comes, you're ready to pull the trigger. If you are someone that has a niche, if you came up with a new product, right, a new style of service, you went and bought, you know, 20 companies and you invested $30 million to your business to help it grow or whatever it may be, right, I would love to talk to you. Even if it's someone that's starting off into a new sector where we can talk and dive into what it takes to get that done, that would be a great episode as well.
Right.
Like anything like that would be great.
Yeah,
we are selective on who right. we bring on.
We
you know, a lot of you guys have been like, oh, bro, I want to go on. But we have, you know, I don't want to repeat what was already done. And I want to continue, you know, hitting everything. And there's so many different categories we got to hit. Once we hit that, I know things will evolve and they'll be restructured and it'll be a little bit different. But that's the method that we're using today to execute what we're trying to execute. Right. And that's what it is.
Yeah, we're trying to continue bringing solutions to problems.
Yes.
And also, not a problem, just elevating your business in general.
Yeah, continue elevating growing. Your business in general. And it's very easy to talk about the world and the recession and the economy and all that stuff, but we want to bring value to you guys and don't want you to stop listening to anything that we do right. and cry. Yeah, right. Or be like, we're doomed, right? We want to give you guys solutions right. that will actually work or implement things. Talk about things that you can implement and maybe redirect you or change your perspective, you know, because the next thing is right there, right? But not everyone is looking at it like that.
Right.
So when we talk about certain things, it might open eyes. And not even that, but bringing on guests. Like the guests we've had on have been awesome. And they all have something powerful to say. They all have a message to say, right? Whether they say it as a message or not, just them telling their stories, giving off so much of a message. And a lot of the people that have been interviewed, guys, I would say more than half of them have been in business for a long time. Right. They haven't been in business for a year. These are people that have been through recessions. They've been through ups and downs. They've dealt with things like what I talked about today. And they know what they're doing, right? So to have them on and talk about their story and give advice and stuff like that is so good, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're not just hearing it from me. You're hearing it from them. And they're industry-based, which is so good because there's not too many places besides the landscape community on the podcast and also contractor podcast. We just bring something different to the table from my perspective being a wholesale plant nursery and all the different customers that I have because it really is. We sell to so many different clientele. It's crazy.
Yeah, man, shout out to Paul. He's always giving us love. So
yeah, shout out to Paul, Green Industry Podcast. That guy is a monster, what he does. Super professional, you know?
Yeah.
I love him, bro. He's great.
And he's always showing love, man. So
always
Paul,
showing love. Thank you, man. And it was great, too, to be on this episode number 700. If you guys haven't listened to it, you can go Green Industry Podcast on any podcast stream, and you can listen to episode 700 where he interrogates me.
Yeah. He flips the page.
But it was good. I loved it. I love being interrogated. Guys, God bless you. Stay safe out there. Keep your mind right, and let's continue, all right? Let's continue building. Don't dwell so much on the problems. Dwell on the solutions, all right? God bless you guys. Bye.